Good evening, young disciples. Did you have a wonderful day? I'm so glad to be here, and I just love that theme song. I find myself throughout the year, I know that we've done that as a theme before, and I find myself sometimes just long time away from camp, having these theme songs pop into my head, and I enjoy being able to sing those and remember the good times here around campfire. And I'd like to just have everyone direct their attention to the front here. Put away your cameras or whatever other things may be distracting you. And let's gather together as we get ready to fellowship with the Lord in a special way. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Tonight, our opening prayer is going to be brought to us by Michael DeRose. Michael, please come forward and let us kneel together.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this nice day we've had, and please help us to have a good night, and just amen.
Thank you. It's time for Bible Puzzlers! And thank you to those who have turned some in over the last day or so. All right, let's see if you can figure this one out. Can you all see it? I think some people figured it out. Yes, right here in the front. Glory over transgression. Very good guess. That's not quite it. Think of a Bible passage, or it may depend on the version, too. Who is next? I think, yes, you in the green. One more time. Glory covering transgressions. Yes, that is it. Did anyone... Do anyone agree? Does anyone agree?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think it's right, too. Oh. Some of you have seen this one before. You can't guess. Can everyone read it? Don't say anything until I call on you. Let's see here. Yes. Glory from shame. Glory from shame. Good guess. Good guess. Let's see. Right in the back. Daniel. No. Shame from glory. No. Let's see. Yes. Glory in the shadows of shame. We're coming up with some good thoughts. Yes. Well, it's close. Glory to shame. Yes. Shame hidden by glory. Good guess. Here. Glory overshadows shame. Nice thoughts. Shame to glory. Anyone else? Yes. God's glory overshadowing our shame. Another good thought. Yes? Shame in the shadow. It doesn't have anything to do with shadows. But good guesses. Someone else? I might have to give a clue on this one. Some of you guys are really close. Maybe I should give it to you. Oh, someone over here thinks they know what it is. Yes. Yes. Should I give it to her? Say it one more time. Yeah, that's close enough. Glory turned to shame, or shame turned to glory? I guess it depends which way you're looking at it. Unfortunately, in the Bible, it's happened both ways, hasn't it? Some people have chosen the right path and they've gone from shame to glory. And others have, unfortunately, been close to God and gone from glory to shame. Okay, so that one could go either way. Okay, this one quickly. Someone from Morningstars. We'll go with Kaylin. Well, that was quick. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Fortress. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Two tress equals? I love it. I love it. That's higher math. That was a pun. Okay. Oh, wow. Look at all those arms over here. Has anybody from God's Trailblazers got one before? Okay. Who hasn't guessed? One of you. Have you guessed before? Okay, what do you think it is? Very, very, very close. Someone else in the unit help him. Let's see. Philip. House on the Rock. Seth. House up, what? House? Close? You really have it. I'm looking for the exact words. Joshua. Okay, Caleb. House upon the Rock. You are correct. All right. House upon the Rock. All right, please do keep bringing those Bible puzzlers to me, because
yes,
we like to see them, and some of those you'll probably get a chance to see later on again. All right, let's see those Bible memory bookmarks. Bring them out and hold them high. We're aiming for 100%. 100%.
Good evening, young disciples. Let me see again. Okay, if you don't have your bookmark, raise your hand. Okay, come on up.
I know the memory from Counselor Retreat. I know the memory.
Okay.
They need help.
Maybe that's all of you. You already know this one, right? Okay, great. Okay, I'd like you to face this direction, if you would be so kind, and share with the rest of the young disciples Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. Wow, this side finished considerably quicker than this side. No, that is sometimes a virtue, but not in when you're doing a voice choir. So let's try our voice choir again, and let's see if we can get everybody together. Maybe I'll give you a little help. One, two, three, four, go! it didn't work. Okay. I'll have to try a different way. Okay, I'll say one, two, three, and then you say, then the word. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay, one, two, three.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
That was pretty good until the end, but then these guys got a little excited and went really fast. Okay. I really would like you to say it all together, okay? So kind of, yeah, maybe so. Move over there. Okay, but hopefully then they can hear you. Okay, one, two, three. Then
the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. Yes. Give them an amen. Amen. That's not an amen. That's what we need. Okay. How many of you, you were all children at one point, and some of you still are, I'm not mistaken. Okay, all of you who happened at some time in your life, no, if you were born in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, or Montana, stand up. Let me see how many that is. Okay, that's good. Come on forward. Okay, these are our Washington, Oregon. These are our Pacific Northwest people. And they are going to recite for us, without the help of their cards, Jeremiah 1, verses 6 and 7. What happened? Okay. That was pretty good, but let's make it really good because I know you can do it really good, right? Okay, yeah. Let's try that again. Can you give them a nice amen?
Amen?
Thank you. You may be seated. I really like this next verse because I think most of us at some time or other have been afraid of somebody's face. Maybe knocking on a door. And you're afraid of what might be on the other side of that door. I know I've knocked on doors and somebody's opened it and told me my future. Well, anyway, I hope it wasn't my future, actually. But they thought it was. Anyway, we don't need to be afraid of those people, do we? And it says so right here. Let's read verse 8 together. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, gentlemen, that's it, just verse 8. That's all I'm going to have you do right now. Gentlemen, I want you to read this verse to the ladies. Ready? Wait a minute, I'll have you do it together. Ready, go. Be not afraid. Thank you. Ladies, read that to the gentlemen. One, two.
Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord.
Nice, encouraging thoughts to give one another. Okay. That's not very hard, is it? Okay. Let's see if you can do that without your cards. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Amen. Tomorrow we'll choose some more categories. And please don't make me have to choose that one about not having your card, okay? There's a lot more fun things to do. Okay, it's time for us to have our evening thought from Pastor Griswold. And please, once again, please put away your cameras and anything else that might distract you or the person next to you, and be ready for the full blessing that God has in store for you.
Good evening, young disciples. Passing out another card for you from the Buddhist Study Center, centered in Thailand. The work that we do involves countries like China, Japan, Korea, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, Sri Lanka, any place where there's a lot of Buddhists, and we need you praying for them. It's a huge field, and God has got to do some major special stuff out there. About 75% of them have never had a chance to meet a Christian, not a chance to interact or even have a thought about it. So also, I meant to have more of these, but for some reason they're not around yet. If you do not have yours, if it's disappeared and you want to be checking out some of these things in the morning in your devotionals, the one for tomorrow is Stories of People Who Stood Up to Peer Pressure and Family, primarily Bible stories. You can search and find where people took a stand to do something special, something courageous, in spite of the influence of their family or their friends. That'll be one to look for. Okay, are you ready? Let's pray together. Okay. Father God, you are here with us tonight, and I ask you to take my tongue, my face, my heart, and shine through it. Let it be what you want to be said tonight. Take all of our hearts and minds and put a hedge of protection around them. Let there be no influence of the enemy to be like a bird that steals away the seed from our heart. And may the words that you have go deep. We do not have the ability to do all that we hope to be or to overcome everything that we face. But you have such incredible strength. And I pray that you could be lifted up tonight and do all that you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope it's in my mind and my heart, but it sure would be easier to relax if it's right here. Thank you very much. How's that, huh? Nice there. Okay, thanks for saving it from the fire. You also are a brand plucked from the fire. Did you know that? God has called you to himself. Last night we looked at D1 of discipleship, the fact that Jesus wants to have a vine and branch close connection with you, the relationship with the mighty God who is so loving, who wants to be connected in ways that can transform your life and give you the incredible joy that most of this world does not have. Tonight we're going to look at D2, total freedom through his creative word, through his creative truth. I want to start by turning to John chapter 8. I'm trying to make sure the rest of these don't fly into the fire there. John chapter 8, verses 31 and onward is an incredible passage where Jesus told one more thing that he believed it meant to be a disciple, a follower of himself. In John chapter 8, it says these words, verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered and said to him, "We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Would you like that kind of freedom? Would you like to be able to not have to worry about falling and failing in the same thing over and over? As I was growing up, I grew up in an incredible home, a really good, loving family with a wonderful father and mother. I grew up with a nice church family, and I was a good kid, and good enough that I basically didn't feel my need for God. I needed God, but just a little sprinkling was fine. Basically was pretty good kid. And pretty bored with it all, too. But I began to see something different in one man who came to our church.
And I began to realize that there was a totally different atmosphere and spirit and excitement and joy in that one person. I began to change the way I thought about myself, to not be thinking quite as good of myself as I had. In fact, there were two things in specific that really bothered me. One was that I couldn't quite control my appetite. There were certain things I loved to eat, and I just couldn't stop. Well, I could stop eventually, but beyond what I knew God was saying. And the worst part was that I was sneaking it whenever my mom wasn't there out of the freezer. Well, that's, you know, just kind of a little funny sin, makes you laugh, except for the fact that if you compared it to a cliff, whether you take a huge leap off a cliff or you just have a small stumble, if you go down, you're going down, and the bottom is death. And that is how God has created us, to be connected to Him. And if we cut off even a little bit, we're headed to death, and the wages of sin are death. So it began to bother me that there was something in my life I could not control. And not only that, the other thing that was even deeper was the fact that there was a girl in my class that I hated. I couldn't stand to be around her. You know, not hate deep stuff like that, but really, really disliked her. And I knew a true Christian should be someone who cared about all people. But I didn't, and I couldn't. No matter how much I tried to be nicer, inside it wasn't there. And that bothered me. Until I began to learn about this secret that we're talking about tonight, the D2, the fact that through the creative power of God's Word, we can be completely set free from the power of sin. Jesus said, if you abide in my truth, you are really my disciples, and the truth will set you free. Well, what is this truth? What is he talking about? Here's one of the verses that began to open my mind to see what it was. Chapter 2 and verse 13, it says these words. For this God without ceasing. What could be so important to Paul that he would not? Because when you receive the word of God, which is the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word actively works in you who believe. It's that when these people heard the gospel, they heard it, not something so powerful that it has the ability to do it. I mean, you can say a lot of things, and we can act on it, but it doesn't change the inside. It has power to recreate. What is that? When he created the world, he spoke. He spoke, and the earth and the water moved apart. He came out, full-grown trees, animals, birds, instant. Because the power of God is to speak. So what can that do for our hearts? To change our lives, if he has that kind of power. Illustration of it. He took Abraham and Sarah, these old, old people, and waited for it day after day, year after year, with nothing happening. And there was no way. They tried other ways to have promise them again, you will have a son. In Romans 4, God turns this into an illustration of in your life for the areas that you struggle with. And verse 17 and verse 21 summarizes the Abraham, in the presence of him whom he believed, dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though. Call somebody like that a liar, right? Who says something is this. But when God says something that is not true, when we believe. Abraham believed it. I'm going to have this happen. And so he becomes his example. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised form, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed. God's word, when he created, just comes crashing through and creates people. He doesn't come crashing through. He waits for that connection of the Son. One more. Think of the list. Disgusting. So stinky. So touched him. People ran away. Loved him. Let him come close, and said to him, he looked up at Jesus, I'd like to be made clean. He reached out his hand, and he touched the man who probably never, and touched him. And then he said these, be clean. And immediately here's what I'm talking about. Here is what made such a huge in my life, where I found there was something I could not change. And then if you want me to love this person, if you want me to be what you called to me to be, then you've got it. And I learned that the power of his something in me that was not there. And so I claim 25. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. I sneak anymore. I didn't have to be out of control. 5:5. Hope does in your heart through the Holy Spirit, including that person I could not stand. And that is the power of the living God. You are able to take up this book and open it and search for those promises, as some of you did this morning, and be able to say, I don't have to fall anymore. I don't have to go back anymore. What is it you're fighting with? God has the power, the victory for it. How capable is he? Story stands out in my mind. It comes from the country of, I don't know the country actually, I think it's Rwanda, but from Africa. Mark Finley has told it, I've heard him share it, I know it happened, and I say that simply because it's a very difficult story to imagine doing. In one of the villages there in Rwanda, a lady soldier came up and began to fight with the people around her, just pushing them around and causing problems, and then took out a machete, and before she saw that her child of hers and her husband, and she watched as they were killed. Screaming, she tried to flee, but he came after her too and began to attack her, until finally he left her for what he was sure was dead. She did not die. Somebody took her to the hospital, and there in the hospital, she slowly, bit by bit, began to heal on the outside, but not on the inside. In the inside, as she recognized that, yes, they had caught the man, that he was in jail, the bitterness just churned and churned, the hatred, the anger, the desire to see that man not just in jail, but put to death. But the problem was that she was a Christian. She knew the love of Jesus. And the love of Jesus and bitterness and anger in the heart can't stay together. She began to cry, she began to plead, and she began to say, God, I do not want to lose my walk with you because of this man. I've lost everything else, not that too. And slowly she opened her heart and said, God, if you can forgive the people who killed your son, Jesus, if you can if you can forgive those who loved you, I mean, who hurt you so bad, then maybe, just maybe, by the power of your word, by you. And she took faith and began to walk at prison where he was, until she and forget, and his heart began to change what he was doing, not fully, and he was to be there, let him out. And he, nobody wanted him, nobody would give him a job, nobody would give him a vision who did. That lady took, called him her own son, the word of God. And there is nothing he cannot do. Whatever you are facing, whatever it is that you are challenging, there is hope, there is power. It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes the things are so good that even when we're putting us over that cliff and causing us to lose our salvation, that it doesn't feel worth it. And it's, but at the moment, kind of shut off that door of our mind to the Spirit of God, well, God wants to give us a salvation, our own feeling good. A lot of times, and so we just let ourselves slide. He is calling back in the power of abiding in Jesus' word, not only. And not only for his own joy, because he wants us there, he does not want us to miss out, but because of the people that we could reach if we would just be strong in him. I want to tell you just a couple little things about some of the problems in the world. It's not reached tonight. It's about the smokers. Smokers, well, you know, they're doing something stupid. They're making themselves smoke a cancer stick. So what? Even me who struggle with stopping the things that are difficult to stop. There's 1.1 billion people. That's a bunch of people. It's about one out of six kids who started smoking today. By the cigarette companies in some of the countries like Cambodia, many laws there weren't before to keep from promoting cigarettes actively among young people. 10 million cigarettes were bought, can you guess, in 1 minute being bought. And here's the really sad part. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Somebody dies from smoking. Something smoking related. You and me who somehow got caught in a habit they find extremely difficult. If you find victory for your own self, for those small little things, you will be a man who desperately need God here and around the world. God is wanting to use you in many ways. It may not be to help somebody stop smoking, but it might be. It could be that you decide people, helping them with getting off drugs, those who are really into sexual immorality, the different things that they fight. There's addictions to things like video gaming. There are many young people who simply are controlled. Their life is... These are things that you can help, that God can use you to make a difference for, to change, and to work with. It could be our families all over the place that are torn apart by the fact that people cannot control in anger children close to and teach them the correct resolution of how to speak in care. Those children stop getting hurt. I don't know what it is, but around the world, in many places, that God is wanting you to use you to reach out and care for them. The truth is that we must remember, even while we are pursuing victory, calling to, is that if you fall, He will help you. And I am sure that there are some tonight here who do have things in the back of your mind that you're thinking about, other people, but real to you, that you've tried again and again to stop. And hold on. Hold on to the... You know it, don't you? If we confess us to forgive us our sins and unrighteousness, please never feel that you've gone too far. If you have working with you in any way, you can know He has done it for many things. Read the stories of what God was able to do. It's gone so far. Time and again, He will help. Well, you have to be able to see it clearly to fall away, just to give up, just to say, it's too hard. It's too hard. The standard lady named Clarence, she lived quite a while ago, grew up near the ocean, swim when she was young. She loved to swim against the waves. She was winning many, many races, but always endurance ones, never the short ones. And she began to want to challenge the channel. One to conquer was the one bottom part of Southern California to Catalina Island a couple days ago. And it's 22 miles across. Imagine swimming 22 miles. Well, that was her challenge. And as she went out in 1952, she swam and she swam and she swam 15 hours, a long, long time. Tired. You see, they'd been shooting rifles just to keep many things that when you are swimming in the ocean that you have to fight. It's not just a swim. And she was ready. She said, I've got to come in. And her trainer beside her in the boat said, don't give up. Finally, she said, forget it. A half a mile from her destination. She said as she got into the boat, if I could have seen the shore, if I could have seen the shore, I could have made it. But because of it's sometimes hard to just say, forget it. Jesus' word is creative. It's powerful. Pick up the promises that are creative. It was a command. You can go in the fire now. Go ahead and blow. And it happened. When Jesus said, be clean to the leper, it was a command and it could happen. When Jesus says the Ten Commandments or love your enemies or any of those other things, they're commands that have creative power. If you can believe it, it is yours instantly. You may know that you can know in that next second, again, if you will claim it of the righteousness of Jesus that you need in that for you with power. 2 months later, Florence Chadwick took off swimming again. And as she swam and swam and swam, she made it the whole way. World record for that time. And from there on, she was off to the English Channel. God has huge victory for you, and He has a wanting to reach through you and through the people you take hold of His victory tonight. Whatever it is that's come to your mind, victory and struggle. Right now, as I pray with you, I want to invite you to say to God, I am committed to overcoming this through you. Just Sabbath morning, Redwood at the house we have there in Challenge, California. It's a place that I love to go. And I can look out and I can see far. I can see clear to the Sierra Buttes. One specific area that I've been defeated in all week long, the week before. And I said, God, I want your victory. I'm going to go back. I'm going to memorize passages. And God has given me a consistent victory every single day. I know fresh that His word is creative and powerful. And I invite you to bow with me to pray and to ask God to give you total victory in that area He wants you to have. Father God, you are so powerful that something here has lodged deep in the hearts of every one of us to know that and that you are ready and eager to forgive, but you want to take us farther for our sakes, for your sakes, for the sake of the world, for all those people in bond. Lord, we are asking, we are committing right now and abide in your word until the truth sets us free.